up are those who have chosen today, this day, as the time that God has put on their heart, that they've made the resolution, that they've made the decision to sign and make a public proclamation to their families, their church, and to their community, and mostly to God. These are not all of the men of courage of Shepherd's Heart Christian Fellowship. These are not all of the men of courage. These are just the ones that are coming forward today. There's many more that just haven't heard that this is the time for them to be signing their document. But these men are the ones that have heard from God and said, this is the day, this is the time, this is the moment. So call your name. Would you please come forward? Alan Fess, if you would come forward and do the honors.
Who will solemnly resolve before God to take full responsibility for themselves, their wives, and their children?
I will.
Who will love them, protect them, serve them, and teach them the Word of God as the spiritual leaders of their home?
I will.
Who will be faithful to their wife, to love her and honor her, be willing to lay down their life for her as Jesus Christ did for you?
I will.
Who will bless their children and teach them to love God with all of their hearts, all of their minds, and all of their strength?
I will.
Who will train them to honor authority and live responsibly?
I will.
Who will confront evil, pursue justice, and love mercy?
I will.
Who will pray for others and treat them with kindness, respect, and compassion?
I will.
Who will work diligently to provide for the needs of their families?
I will.
Who will forgive those who have wronged them and reconcile with those who you have wronged? Who will learn from their mistakes, repent for their sins, and walk with integrity as men answerable to God?
I will.
Who will seek to honor God, be faithful to His church, obey His word, and do His will?
I will.
Who will courageously work with the strength God provides to fulfill this resolution for the rest of your life, and for His glory?
I will.
Well, it is a special day in many ways. I can't tell you how excited and thrilled I am to be able to welcome all our friends back. I will use the term the bridge, because I wouldn't want to go one by one and forget someone. God bless you. It's really wonderful to have you here. Well, I was thinking about what Don and the group were doing today, and I'd like to thank you, Don, for all you've done on our behalf. It was not an easy job. It would be a scary one for me. So you were the first one to have courage. Thank you. God bless you. What? It reminded me, because what are we doing here? One of the things, there's many things that are going on in this men's group, but one of the things was to seek God about being a, good term would be more sanctified Christian, more sanctified husband, more sanctified father, and brother and citizen, whatever. It all trickles down, because if we get the first part right, the rest will come along faithfully. Now, I got thinking about, I think it was in 1977 or 8, I was at this pig roast down in Braddock's Bay, and these John Benedetti and Gary Pfeiffer were co-pastoring the church that I was in at the time, and they said, "We want to talk to you later on," you know. And so I went right over to him then because I was sure I was in some kind of trouble. Because when people want to say something like that to me in those days, I was usually in trouble. And they laughed and they said, "No, we were thinking, we feel the Lord wants you to become an elder in the church, and we want you and Lisa to pray about it." So, you know, I looked at the qualifications in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And I looked at them, and I had some doubts and questions about a few of them. But there was one qualification that I was certain I didn't meet. And that was because of being in debt that I didn't have a good reputation in the world. And I shared that with them, and they knew about it. We'd been praying, and they'd been counseling me and praying for me. And we'd been gaining some ground. And it was back from my drinking days. But, you know, drinking isn't the only problem. I was very irresponsible. I was undisciplined. I may not have drank anymore, but I still had a drunkard's mentality when it came to spending money. So there's more to it than that. But anyway, God will be sure to point it out to us what we need. And so I talked to them about that, and they said, "Well, we know about that, and you're submitted, and you keep us informed, and blah, blah, blah. So we feel, if you feel it's okay, to go ahead." And so we did. And looking back at it, I don't know if maybe I should have waited till that was all cleared up. Because there were some very tense moments over that, some condemnation and shame over it. And I could see the value of God having his roles and his qualifications for leadership or for anything we're about to do. And so after a few years of looking back at that, I thought, you know, really, any Christian should look at those qualifications in 1 Timothy and make them their goal. So, I mean, I never, ever thought that I would ever be called to any kind of leadership. I mean, so I would never have thought, well, I better get to work at this. You know, and of all things, in that church, they called me a bishop. Now, I had a Catholic background, so you can imagine what that did to my head. I mean, they really heaped it on. But don't we have the same case now, as far as becoming a better husband, a better... I thank God for what's going on here. But I wonder, maybe I should have been working on that one too, diligently. And so that's what I want to talk about a little bit today, just give you an outline. I know we're running a little late. But if we read in 1 Corinthians 13, it's the love chapter. Everyone knows that, I think, that's been a Christian for 8 or 10 minutes. And I think, what is that? That's God's definition of love, isn't it? That's what he says it is, and that's what it is. That's what real love is, God's love. And that's the kind of love that we had back in the garden. Yes. You know, God's love hasn't changed since the fall, but man's has. It's fallen. It's marred. And so it was two ways for sure before the sin entered the world. But in the fall, then now we've got God had created man to be spiritual, to be led of the spirit and everything. And after the fall, we became soulish and led of the flesh, didn't we? Now, if we look in First Galatians, I think I just added to the Word of God. Galatians chapter 3, 19, 5:19, It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies. Envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling in such like, which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things or practice them, not a slip into something, but people that just given over to it, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So that's what we got after the fall. From we went from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 through 8, to Galatians 5, 19 through 21. And that's the state of man. Now, what are we facing now? We're faced with scrambling back up out of this Galatians 5, 19, trying to get back to Corinthians 13, right? And so as we fight and kick what, we got this thing that goes on in Galatians 5, 22 and 3, which are called the fruit of the Spirit. That's what we're after now, right? That's what we're trying to grow. And sometimes we have some really sad soil to grow in. We have droughts, we have famine, we have animals and bugs coming in and tearing up the place. And we have a difficult time growing this fruit. But that is our goal. And as I've said before, the fruit of the Spirit is really just, it's Christ-likeness, isn't it? I mean, if we get it, we're getting more and more like Christ, the more fruit of the Spirit we have. And notice that the first one is love. And that goes right along with 1 Corinthians 13 because he said you can have everything else. You don't have love. You don't have nothing. You've accomplished nothing. And so that's what we want to work on first. Because again, that's the head and the rest will follow that. So we want that. So I kind of looked at this and, you know, and I got this chart here before me. It's too bad you can't see it. You'll have to take my word for it. But I got here, I got love, Corinthians 13, love. It says love is kind, right? And then I get over in the middle, flesh, and we got, what, after the fall, we got wrath, we got hatred, you know. And then we get the fruit of the Spirit, goodness and gentleness, you see. So there's that kind of a sandwich, and you got to throw the meat out of the middle of it and get rid of that. And so then in 1 Corinthians, it says love envies not, but we got envy in the works of the flesh, and then we got love in the fruit of the Spirit. We got love is not unseemly. We got drunkenness, reveling. We got temperance and meekness over in the fruit, okay? It says love seeks not her own, and we've got witchcraft and envy and all that, you know, and hatred, and we got meekness over in the fruit of the Spirit. You see where I'm going? Not easily provoked. Love is not easily provoked. They're not sensitive and overdramatic and all that running around. But we got wrath and hatred. Over what? Somebody got somebody's parking spot. Kill them. Really? People are out there to kill you. Stepping on their shoes. But the answer to that is the fruit of the Spirit. Long-suffering, peace, temperance, meekness. So you see, this should be our goal all the time. We should look at these things and say, God, I want this. I am very thrilled to see, like, Vincent come up. He's not married right now, but he still came up because he wants more God. He wants to be more like Jesus Christ. This is for everybody. It is for every husband, man, woman, child, and whosoever will, whoever calls on the name of the Lord can have this. And so, but here's the one at the end of all this, Corinthians 13, it says love never fails. You know what? The flesh always fails. The wages of sin is death. And of course the fruit for that would be love. You know? So, let me take you back a few years. You know, Lisa has this ministry of deliverance and inner healing. And, you know, I joke about getting a dog, but we don't need a bird dog. We need a St. Bernard. Because I'm afraid someday I'm going to be walking through my living room and just an avalanche of books will fall down on me and some dog will have to dig me out of the pile someday. So, Anyway, I come home, and there's this book on the table years ago. It's called Love is a Choice. I immediately, foolishly, rejected that idea. But as everything else that I'm wrong, I had God, usually through Lisa, deals with me about it. And so off we went. Well, you know, the truth is love is a choice. And if we can, again, I can't say it enough, if we get that one right, the rest will follow. And so Jesus said, if you love me, you'll what?
Obey
me, right? And so there are these choices that are set before us. In Deuteronomy 30:15, he says, see, I set before you this day life and good and death and evil, you know. I mean, you ever see one of the movie scene where the professor is speaking to his class and he's pouring his heart out to him? He's telling the most important thing they're going to hear in the whole class. And there'll be some stranger sitting in the back and he'll go, is this going to be on the test? You know, this guy doesn't even, he shouldn't even be there, you know, not that day anyway. Yeah, it's, do we really have to pray about whether I want to live or die, whether I want good or evil in my life? It's that much of a choice, is it? Although, you could all boil it down to true and false, couldn't you? Come on. There's only two answers, right? So if let's say we're all here and we don't know anything about computers, and I give you a true and false question, 100 question true or false test on computers, you absolutely know nothing. You don't even know how to turn one on. Chances are you'll come in around 47, 53 average, right? I mean, it's just the law of averages. But, you know, in this test, the world doesn't get it, right? They score real high on the, I'll choose death. As Don shared today, and Joshua said, choose this day who you'll serve.
Yes.
See, God tells us in Deuteronomy there, he says, here's the choice. And then what? He commands us to choose the right thing. Why? Not because of ego or pride, but because he loves us. There, that word that keeps popping up, doesn't it? And so see that. It really, if we think about the long term, that's the trouble with me, is I'm very temporally minded. And so we need to be eternally minded. We need to be planning for the long term. I know Al, you know, he thinks that way. I don't. You know, we were talking one day about, you know, having a building, and we got to do, he's going, well, we got to see how many parking spots we need and all that. You know, he's going on and on. You know what? If I designed that building, you wouldn't have a bathroom in it. Until somewhere in the middle of the first service, we'd probably think of it. But you see, I don't think that way, but God does. And God has people around us that'll think that way for me, thank God. And so we want to have, you know, ask God for, you know, an eternal value system.
Yeah.
I've got to think up the road a little bit, you see. And so he tells me, commands me to make the right choice because he knows what's good for me. It's if you boil it down, it's kind of like, Ron, stop playing in this traffic. Get out of the street. You know, and I think he wants to ruin my good time, but he doesn't want me messed up or dead. You know, that's all. And so what are we saying here? He loves us. Why would I deny what he's got for me? Why would I wait? Why not get ready now? I mean, we don't know who's going to be called to do what, but we're all called to do something.
Yes.
And we're all called. I love that plaque that Lisa has in our living room. It was a quote from St. Augustine, but it says, preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a billion people out there never darken the door of this church.
Right.
And so who we work with, that guy that, you know, maybe is an idiot that you're working next to and you have to put up with. But if you got the fruit of the Spirit, you can love him. And you might be winning the next Martin Luther King or Billy Graham to the Lord, for all you know. See, all we got to know is what God wants to do and obey him. You know, not what about this, what about that, you know. We were, Lisa and I and Kenny were discussing the finer points of turkey hunting on the way over here this morning. And I made the thing, you know, sometimes you have to suffer to get, you have to be desperate to get something. And you have to sit there and suffer and just take the weather, take the mosquitoes and snakes and whatever else comes along. And so you have to suffer sometimes. What is hope? What is one of long suffering? That comes after love, because if I don't love you, I'm not going to suffer very long. If I want to be your hero and jump on the proverbial grenade for you, you know what? If I can't stay up 10 minutes and pray for you, I don't think I'm going to jump on any hand grenade. Right?
Yeah.
You see, you can start small. You know, if I spent more time in prayer, we probably wouldn't have to jump on any of them things. Stay out of that kind of trouble. But that's about all I got to share is that outline today. Is that let us seek God and see what does he have for us up the line. Let's not get caught. Let's not get caught out there and not be ready. Let us be ready. I believe personally that we are always in training.
Yes.
We don't realize that. And I might grumble and whine and well, let's be real, I will grumble and whine. But I... You know, I don't know what's up ahead, but he does. And then when I get ambushed, I'm glad that he took me through that little course there that was so uncomfortable for me. You know, he's always training us and preparing us. Let's be ready when the trouble starts. Let's be ready this time. Yeah, I can do that. I'll step right in. Yep, I've been ready. I've been working on that very thing. You see, so let's bow for prayer. Father, I just thank you so much for your loving son. Lord, I just pray that we would seek you early and late, Lord. We would see what you have for us, that we would be ready, that we would obey you. We don't have to understand. If we understood everything, it wouldn't even be faith, and then therefore we couldn't please you, Lord. But let us just, by faith, follow you. Seek after you. Seek after the goals you set. Seek the strategy that we'll walk by faith to get them, to reach them. And it's all, Lord, to glorify you, not us. Doesn't matter if our name's ever mentioned or whatever. But, Lord, I pray that we would be ready, Lord, with Christ-likeness. We have you. We'll have anything else we need, Lord. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you would instill in our hearts. You've called us to liberty. Moses wanted the Jews set free because God said they're to worship him. Set us free that we might worship you, that we be living sacrifices to you wherever we go, Lord. So we just pray for your rich blessing on our lives, Lord, that you would just set us free, Lord, that we would do, Lord, and be truly fulfilled with the things of the Spirit the world can never, ever fulfill, never satisfy. In Jesus' magnificent name, just be glorified in each one of our lives. Let us be what you've called us to be for your glory and for our good and the good of those around us, that we can be light and salt and receive it from others. In Jesus' name, Lord, amen. 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 God bless you.